in the book of 2 Corinthians in the 5th chapter. Reading from the 16th verse, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. In the 17th verse, which is going to be our focus today, and it's going to be our focus for a while. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I also want to tie in that Matthew, the 6th chapter and the 33rd verse. But seek ye first his kingdom. Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be given or added unto you. Heavenly Father, we ask now that you simply allow us with open hearts and open minds to receive that you have for each one of us. God, we love you and we thank you for allowing us to be here today. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. All God's people said amen. 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 The new year. The new year begins with people with great expectations. The old year behind us, and my goodness, what a wonderful year it has been. God has so richly blessed us here at Mount Calvary. He has given us a freedom that I have never seen in any church I've ever been involved with. I believe that God, through his willingness to allow his Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us and to direct us, it is he that has placed the pieces in this puzzle together just the way he wants them to go. This morning I was so moved about how we had choir and friends of choir up here singing this morning, Joyful Noise Unto the Lord. We have such wonderful musicians. Miss Skeety coming in with her wonderful talent. How could this small church over in Northern Virginia have the premier classical pianist in the area? I fully believe like that. How we could have Vicky coming in with such a wonderful personality, able to strike fear into choir members' hearts. How'd she do, and just with a mere 6 to 7 weeks preparation to place on the Christmas cantata program that just simply moved my heart and so many other hearts. How God has allowed us to have Terry Lee, and Terry Lee is, he has been my friend. You know, people don't understand is that when you're the preacher, who do you go talk to? Who do you go talk to? You have to have people that you can entrust in, that are positive people. Somebody, how do you describe to me? How do you describe Terry? And I'll tell you exactly how I describe him. If I say Terry, we're going fishing. We're gonna go catch Moby Dick. He's gonna say, well, let's stop at the 7-Eleven and get some tartar sauce. It's the kind of guy. No matter what wild idea, no matter what thought I come up with, Terry says, well, let's give it a try. Let's see if it'll work. Let's see if God is going to bless it. The gifts that God has given us, if we receive these gifts from him, if we are new creatures in Christ, we can't wait to get to church to show off our new gift. We can't wait to come into the house of the Lord and see and be greeted with smiles, to be greeted with people who simply care for you. They don't know everything going on in your life, and it's a good thing they don't. You don't know everything going on in my life, it's a good thing that you don't. God does. And he still loves me. And he calls upon you to do the same thing. The new year calls for change. I read, as I was so thrilled to be up in the mountains there with my mother on New Year's Eve as we're getting ready for the beginning, not over of a new year for New Year's Day, but for her birthday on Thursday. She asked me to read. She doesn't hear my sermons. Somebody, I hope that's, if that's pulled into the parking lot, you better go check your car over there. She asked me to read this, which we've read it many times. It's right out of Dear Abby. It's the New Year's resolutions. And I've read it time before, and I enjoy this. It says, just for today, I will live through this day only. I will not brood about yesterday or obsess about tomorrow. I will not set far-reaching goals or try to overcome all of my problems all at once, just for today. I know that I can do something for 24 hours that would overwhelm me if I had to keep it up for a lifetime. Just for today, I will be happy. I will not dwell on thoughts that depress me. I love this sentence. If my mind fills with clouds, I will chase them away and fill it with sunshine. I will accept what is. I will face reality. I will correct those things that I can correct and accept those I cannot. Just for today, I will improve my mind. I will read something that requires effort, thought, and concentration. I will not be a mental loafer. Just for today, I will make a conscious effort to be agreeable. I will be kind and courteous to those who cross my path, and I'll not speak ill of others. I will improve my appearance, speak softly, and not interrupt when someone else is talking. I will refrain from improving anybody but myself. Wow. The Apostle Paul tells us to run the race, but he is telling us to run our own race, not telling us to run anyone else's race. And then what I love about this little article is in the paper there, and this was in the paper there, right out of Stanton. Right below that, it has a little article. It's entitled My Answer, and that is written by excerpts from Billy Graham. The writer writes in, he says, every year I come up with a long list of New Year's resolutions, but then I end up not even keeping even one. I'm sincere when I make those resolutions, but then they somehow fall by the wayside as time passes. What is my problem? God must be very disappointed in me. Then Dr. Graham writes back, I suspect many readers could echo your words. After all, each of us wants to become a better person and have a better life, yet it eludes us. Even the Apostle Paul admitted, I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out, in Romans. Sometimes our New Year's resolutions fail because they aren't realistic. Frankly, there's no use in including something on our list that simply isn't going to happen. Others fail because we don't take steps to make them happen. That is that we have no action plan. In other words, we wish for something to happen, but that's it, a wish. Still others fail because we aren't willing to make the sacrifices that are necessary to bring them about. But we also fail for a far deeper reason. We don't have the moral and the spiritual strength within us to live the way that we know that we should. Amen? Amen. We need God's help. We need God's help. Yet in our pride, we refuse to turn to Him, and we try to improve our lives without Him. As a result, we fall short. He instructs, in the beginning of this new year, turn to Jesus Christ. Commit your life without reserve to Him. Then ask Him to give you the strength to become the kind of person that He wants you to be. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We laugh and we joke about New Year's resolutions. And I believe it was Danielle was telling me that like February 17th is, what's the name of that day? It's the
National Give Up Your New Year's Resolution Day.
Right. That's what that is. I love the way when folks that attend here, direct statements just to me. I take it as a challenge to know that, friends, you don't need a resolution as enough as you need resolve. I was reading, and They did a survey of over 1,000 churches. And in talking to and interviewing members from over 1,000 churches, they said, what was the one item that made a difference in the growth of your church? They thought it would be something with the music program, something with the teaching, something with the Sunday school, something with all these programs, programs, programs. And the folks that did this study, they came back with one conclusion. It was simply churches that placed the Word of God in their hearts. God made the change. I have in front of me open the greatest book of resolve that has ever been written. It has strength in here. This is simply a guideline for how to live the life more abundantly that God wants me to live. There's a writer who I enjoy reading, and I love this little item that he wrote. He talks about the conversion, about how someone comes and they give their heart to Christ. And he says, you know, he says, one of the greatest little items about Christianity that's pretty much kept secret to most Christians is that it really does change you. He says that most Christians view their conversion as something like a car wash. He says you go in a filthy clunker. And you come out with your sins washed away, a cleansed clunker. He says, but let me tell you something. Conversion is more than a removal of sin. He says, it is a deposit of power. It is as if your high mileage two-cylinder engine was extracted and a brand new Ferrari engine was mounted in your frame. God removed the old motor, caked and cracked and broken with rebellion and evil, and replaced it with a humming, roaring version of himself. He embedded within you the essence of Christ. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. I believe that God is wanting to do a work in each and every one of us. I don't know why he has put together the pieces that he has, but I simply praise God for it. I don't know what you've got going on in your life. I don't know what expectations you have in this new year. I don't know if your resolutions will last until February 16th at 11:59 at night or not, but I'm here to tell you that God wants to do a work in you. Where does it begin? It begins right here. In just a moment, I'm going to come down. I'm going to hand you a wafer that you'll break and eat alone together. I'm going to hand you a small cup of juice which represents the blood that was shed upon that cross. It begins with your thankfulness to Him about what He did for you. It begins with a simple prayer. Simple prayer that kind of goes like this. Now pray with me. Just say, Jesus, I love you. Let me hear it. Jesus, I love you. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior. Be my Lord and Savior. I thank you. I thank you. I believe that conversion is the simplest act that we can do. I believe that we simply start at the cross, thanking Him, realizing that we in our own strength, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But my goodness, what a wonderful gift that God has given us, His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe upon His name shall be saved. God, we thank you. We thank you for what you're doing for us and what you've done for us. We thank you for each one today being a part of the service. We thank you for so many people just simply coming out, looking forward to a new year. And God, we simply ask you to just put the resolve in our hearts that we simply draw closer unto you and be willing to serve you. In Jesus' precious name, amen, amen, amen. I want to ask that you wait until we're all served and we'll break and eat this wafer together.